TWIC. What does it stand for again? This Week in Cinema.
What are we going to see this weekend? JR and Chris.
You're smart.
No.
Yeah.
What are you doing? There's such good movies.
See it. Holy crap, Land on Earth, The Hidden, whatever.
But ups.
All right, you want to give this a shot?
Hi everybody, and welcome to This Week in Cinema, your home for a spoiler-free look at this weekend's movies, where they come from, and where they are headed. This is Chris.
I am JR.
And here we go. It's our first podcast. Are you excited?
I'm very excited for this. We're starting off with a great, great, highly anticipated film this weekend.
Star Trek.
Into Darkness. Benedict Cumberbatch, I think... This wouldn't even have to be anticipated. If he's in it, I think I would go see it regardless. He is one of my favorite actors, and he looks like he plays a total BA character in this.
He's that guy from Sherlock, right?
Yes. Yep, yeah. Sherlock. He voices Smaug, the dragon, although he hasn't said anything yet.
Oh, okay, yeah.
In Hobbit, yes.
Yeah.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, he was also in that one as well, did a great job.
I like him a lot. I tend to have a bad habit of liking an actor just based on one role.
Mm-hmm. I do that too.
And then I realize there's so much better actors out there because they can go through all these different roles and they can laugh, they can cry and all this stuff. And I just like this one guy because I like that character that he plays.
Yeah.
But I like him.
What happens to me sometimes is I'll see that a certain actor is in a movie and then I'll say, well, I want to see that movie. But the problem was that movie was filmed before this actor was... big guy like Tom Hiddleston. I thought Warhorse. Oh. Tom Hiddleston's in Warhorse. That'll be great. And he's in it for like 5 seconds. I said, well, that's a waste of time. And then I didn't really like the movie that much anyway. So
yeah,
that was my whole reason to see it, basically. And he wasn't in it that long. So Cumberbatch is in that one too. And he also is not in it that much. Yeah, he's...
Oh, he's one of the officers?
Yeah, he's got the mustache.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. That's what I remember about him, that one. One of the things that I get a big kick out of is that in, of course, The Hobbit, you have Smaug, who's going to be the big villain, voiced and motion captured by Cumberbatch, and Martin Freeman, who plays Watson in Sherlock, Bilbo.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny to see these two working so close in Sherlock and then obviously on polar opposite ends of the spectrum in The Hobbit.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, they're... still working together, but they're moving on up.
Yep, moving on up the line, getting more attention. And
it's crazy how popular that TV show was, you know?
And I really like both of them, so.
Yeah.
So what we aim to do here is we've got kind of a three-part show. This first part that we're rambling through right now is what's coming up this weekend, what's coming out. Right now, obviously, we're just talking Star Trek Into Darkness a little bit. We are spoiler-free. We will get into some more limited-release films and other things as they come out. Secondly, where do they come from? So we have a lot of people that are complaining these days, Hollywood's uncreative, they're not doing anything fun anymore. Look at all these movies that make all this money and they're all sequels. But I don't really see that as being the case, so we're going to look into that. Where are they coming from? And then where are they going? Are they going to win awards? What are the top movies of the year? Do we see them making an appearance, you know, on the red carpet, whether at the Golden Globes, Oscars, stuff like that? So this weekend... basically, Star Trek Into Darkness, as we've said. That would be my film to watch this weekend. I'd recommend that. It's getting a lot of good press. I've seen a lot of good reviews. So this obviously has been at the top of a lot of people's... this has been at the top of a lot of people's most anticipated movies of the summer. And so I think that the reviews are showing that that would be at the top. I've got a list here of some other limited release films. I can't really say that... well, there's one here. It's called... it's called Francis Ha, I believe is how he pronounced it. I wouldn't know any other way, but not really any big name actors or actresses. Greta Gerwig is in this one, and this might be really the only limited release film that you want to have on your radar this week.
What is that? What's the basic, like, obviously we don't know the spoilers, but...
right. The premise is that, you know, there's Greta Gerwig is playing this dancer who comes... to New York City, and she's working for a dance company, and she doesn't know a whole ton about dancing, so she has to deal with the reality of working in an industry that she's not familiar with, and stuff with her friends and everything, and kind of an exploration of New York from showbiz standpoint.
That's so basically, go see it with your girlfriend, folks.
That's
what it's not going to be a... rousing crowd pleaser. No, it might be. I'm just not a big fan of dance movies.
Yeah,
my wife is though.
I'm not. My much either, and I'm not sure how much dancing
Jesse really is.
He is in this movie. That's a lie.
I mean, JR really is.
The poster is a big pink poster with the lead dancing on it, so that may give you a sense of where it's coming from.
Which means you love it.
Yes. No. Not true. Also this week we have Erased, starring Aaron Eckhart, and The English Teacher with Julianne Moore, and a thriller called Black Rock, and really none of those three prick my interest that much. Black Rock, kind of this typical, let's go off into the woods and now we're in trouble and we need to get out. And not really too much to see with The English Teacher and with Erased.
Wait, what was that one with Aaron Eckhart in it?
Erased.
Erased.
Yeah.
I don't know what, like I was saying about actors and liking them for their roles. I really like that guy. Pretty much every movie he's in, I enjoy.
I am also a fan of his acting talent. Of course, Two-Face. Love him as Two-Face.
Yeah.
He didn't get more of a role as a Two-Face character.
I don't know what it is. I think it's like he looks like a just a normal guy. He looks like the quintessential American man to me. That sounds really weird, but yeah, he just, I don't know, he looks like a guy that, yeah, I don't know, he just has a lot of charisma, I guess, is what
you'd like your actors to have. Charisma, I would imagine that's what you're going for.
Yeah.
But I don't see a whole lot going on aside from Star Trek. So Francis Ha, if you're into pink dancing movies, go for that. Otherwise, stick with Star Trek, because I think that's going to be the way to go this week, regardless. Moving right along, so we've got this running tally, and you obviously don't have it yet because this is our first podcast, but we went through and we have to make this fair. We can't count all the limited release movies with this, because there's so many more limited release movies that are originals, you know, people just trying to get started into Hollywood. So we're not going to count any of those. So we just count basically wide release movies in this Where Did the Movies Come From segment. Right now our count
is... And is this going to be wide release movies as in, like, box office movies that are in normal theaters?
Yes.
Or, like, countrywide?
Yep.
Because I know there's been a couple movies that I've wanted to see that are, you know, sequels to movies, and they're released, quote-unquote, countrywide, but they're only on the coast. And
right.
It's really frustrating.
So when they get wide, then we'll include them in this.
Okay.
But whatever the definition is given to them by their releasing distributor, then that's kind of what we're going to go with here. So we've got, so far in 2013, 18 original films, which leads the way, 15
18.
Adaptations. And I should define adaptation as anything from a book to a comic book, graphic novel, animated show. Even if it's a short film, if there hasn't been a long film that it's remaking, then it'll be an adaptation.
Okay, so it could be a... It doesn't have to be an adaptation if it's based off of a web series or off of a... I don't know if any movies have been, but based off of something that's small, or like a concept, or like a...
Right. Yeah, anything that has existed in some medium and is now being transferred to the big screen would be considered an adaptation. And the reason I bring this up is because Mama, which came out earlier this year, it's the horror film Guillermo del Toro, actually started as a short film, but I can't say that's a remake because the original
was a short film. Yeah.
So he's obviously making a full length, so that's an adaptation of the short film.
Sure.
Sequel / prequel. Also, spin-off would be in that category. We have 5.
So there's 18 brand new ones.
18 originals, yep.
Okay, then there's 15, you said?
Yep, 15 adaptations.
15 adaptations are made off of books and comic books and whatever.
Yep.
And then 5 sequels.
Yep, 5 sequel, prequel, anything, spin-offs, anything like that. 2 remakes and 2 re-releases, which would be 3D.
Wait, wouldn't a remake be a... adaptation?
A remake would be if you've got a movie, so Footloose, I'll give as an example from a couple of years back.
That's kind of an adaptation off of a...
Well, did that come from the book or from the movie? Because when you say remake,
flesh
this out.
Okay, so you're saying a remake is one that was made, like there's a script, they make a movie, and then they remake a movie.
Correct.
An adaptation is there was a Transformers TV show, mm-hmm. and now there's a Transformers movie. No, that's not a good example.
I think here's a better example is so Carrie, the book by Stephen King. So there's a movie coming out later this year, and a lot of people have been wrongfully categorizing that as a remake because of the famous Carrie movie that has been out already. However,
but it's not. It's based off
Stephen King's book.
Oh, okay.
So, but if you get a movie out there, they're talking about.
Adaptation doesn't include movies in the past. Right. An adaptation of a movie is an adaptation of something. Okay, I got you.
So Gremlins, for example. I've been hearing some buzz they're going to remake Gremlins. Gremlins was...
I wasn't a fan when I was a kid.
I hated that. Movie way back when it came out.
Yeah.
And for them to say, well, we're just going to redo it. Fright Night would be another example, as far as I know. Original movie. Let's do it again. They're making a remake. So there've only been two of those this year, and re-releases, same thing, two. And re-releases would be
What is that? Like something in 3D
that hasn't been in 3D before, or something like a Miyazaki film from Japan.
Oh, re-released from a different country. Okay, so let's do the breakdown one more time.
Right.
18 brand new ones.
Yep.
15. Adaptations, two sequels? No, five sequels.
Yep, five sequels.
Five sequels, and then two re-releases,
mm-hmm.
and then two...
And two remakes.
Two remakes. I almost had it. I almost had it.
Very close. Very close. You'll have this by the end.
Yeah.
And, of course, with Star Trek coming out as the only wide-release movie, that would be number six. So Star Trek Into Darkness as a sequel to J.J. Abrams' original Star Trek movie...
And that is a totally original script, right? I haven't heard anything about
Based off of anything else. It's just a sequel to the first movie. So that'll be number six. So that is the sixth sequel / prequel of the year. So we do see the original films, basically, and the adaptations way out in front. So
yeah.
And this is the trend we will see. Interesting. As people actually don't realize this, but...
So what's the percentage on that then? How many total movies have been released, basically?
We are looking at
41% of all movies released this year so far have been absolutely original.
Yes.
With and there's more than that too, because some of the sequels and stuff obviously have been original themselves.
Right, yeah, and you're not going to see, you know,
a
direct, you know, sequel that is word for word from anything else, and you have to keep that in mind. You know, one thing I always have to keep in mind is, you know,
unless it's based off of a book, which would be in the adaptations.
Right, yeah.
So if you're having sequels as a separate category, but would, like, say, Lord of the Rings 2 or The Hobbit, you know, coming out, would that be a sequel or would that be a adaptation?
That's a good question. I think I'd have to label that. That is a very good question. That's a tough one. I think I'd have to label it sequel just for the benefit of counting it as a sequel.
Should we eliminate the sequel portion?
I don't think so, because I think a lot of people have complaints that all we see are sequels. And I would like to say, actually, no, most of the movies aren't sequels in any way. And I think that's also why I would lean to put Hobbit on there, because I almost like to... lean towards sequel, because in my experience, even if you lean sequel on some movies, the originals are still...
I guess it's better to keep it the worst case scenario.
Yes.
Yeah. If someone wanted to argue that, oh, that was a sequel, that wasn't a adaptation, which... semantics.
Here's the deal. Here's what we're going to look at. So if
but
you go,
that's not on our list right now, but I'm just clarifying for...
Yeah. if you go to the... If you fast forward to the Oscars, any given year, they have two... screenwriting award categories. They have Best Original Screenplay and Best Adapted Screenplay. And Best Original Screenplay is something that you came up with absolutely all by yourself, and you wrote all by yourself, and
no
extra help.
Yeah.
Adapted Screenplay, which actually most of the great movies I thought from last year are, that would be Life of Pi, Lincoln, because Spielberg chose part of a book to adapt that from.
So in the adaptation category would be historical movies too?
Zero Dark Thirty
Okay.
would be an example of... There's a film that they went through and they went through declassified files, they did all that stuff, but someone did their own research for that film, and they wrote the script. And
so that would not be an adaptation?
That would be an original. Yep.
Weird. There's such a fine line that you have to cross. And I guess it's not us making these rules. It's kind of the Motion Picture Association. Is that what
right.
they are?
And I think the line that you have to look at is you have to say, did this come from anything else? If it came from anything else, then it's adapted. If it did not, then it is original. So, So my whole point is, look at the original movies coming out. Look at the adapted movies that are coming out that we haven't seen before on the big screen. Life of Pi, great example. Mm-hmm. People said that's unfilmable, yet they did a great job and
really
fantastic, fantastic movie, especially in 3D, which I hardly ever see.
Speaking of 3D, just a little side note. When I saw Avatar for the first time, saw it in 3D, obviously, it just blew my mind. And I was just like, this is what 3D is capable of, you know? And I was so excited. And there was one point in the movie where we were in the second row. It kind of sucked, you know, because I don't like watching movies that close. But we were in the second row and someone in the front of us stood up.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of stopped for a second. And me and my wife looked at each other and we thought it was like a part of the movie, you know? Like, it was, I don't know. But... And then recently, you know, all these other 3D movies that have been coming out, I didn't really like that much. Like, it didn't seem as immersive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, maybe it was just Avatar was just such a great 3D movie. But then we went and saw Iron Man 3 in 3D. And the 3D in that movie wasn't that great because it obviously wasn't made for 3D. You know, mm-hmm. whenever there was 3D shots, they would have a...
Right.
The focal point of the shot would be clear, but then all the rest of it, it'd be popped out, but it'd be fuzzy. You know, mm-hmm. so it was just... But at the same time, it was much, much, much more immersive because we got there late and we had to sit in the second row or the front row, mm-hmm. you know, and so you're sitting so close. So if you're going to see a 3D movie, watch it in the first couple of rows. That's my recommendation anyways.
And I also think with 3D movies, I think you're better off going with the non-action movie because I think at least with the superhero films, Iron Man 3, Thor, I saw in 3D, Captain America. Because
there's so much going on.
There's so many, you know, Iron Man 3, there's a lot of these armored things flying around. They're flying around so fast, your eye can't catch up in 3D. Thor, there's a lot of darker battling scenes in the early part of that movie. And it's just, as soon as I got out of the movie, I said, I have to see it in standard 3D.
And if you're going to see a movie in the first couple rows, do not sit over on the edge.
Yes.
When I went and saw Clash of the Titans.
Why would you see that?
Because I like epic movies, okay? No, so when I went and saw Clash of Titans, again, we got there a little bit late, and the only one available at the time was 3D, and we went over into the theater, and the only seat available was way over front row on the side. And we're like, oh, whatever, you know? They obviously made these seats for a reason, you know, so people could watch movies and put the glasses on. It was not 3D. Like, it just... It was 3D, but it was just off, you know?
Right.
It just kind of made you dizzy the whole time, and it was just a horrible experience. All right, so if you guys haven't noticed...
We're pretty awesome.
I love movies, but I'm not a huge movie buff. I don't know everything there is to know about movies.
I do not.
I'm basically just a normal moviegoer who likes the next blockbuster that's coming out. JR here is... insanely into movies. So what would your top three movies be?
My top three movies of the year, are we talking
ever?
So far? Oh, ever.
Yes.
My top three movies,
or
I would say.
If you can't categorize them, because most people, when you ask them that question, oh, I can't pick one, or I can't pick even three, but what are some of your top movies?
Three, because I can probably give you three that are my favorite. I think my three favorites, I think... Number one, The Princess Bride. I love The Princess Bride. I've seen it about 500 times.
Sorry.
I love it.
It's a good movie. It's a great story. Yeah.
And there's just so much. I just, huge Princess Bride fan. Number two.
So is my wife.
The Avengers. The Avengers is, you know, I'm a huge comic book nerd. Love The Avengers. Joss Whedon did a fantastic job with The Avengers. So that would be my first two. Number three is The Dark Knight. I think you can't... I mean, again, I like comic books. I'm going to take that back. I'm going to take it back because I'm not going to let myself do two comic books, but I'm going to stay with Christopher Nolan, The Prestige, is going to be my third.
Really?
That was
a really good movie.
First
when
Nolan
I first
movie
saw it,
I saw. My friend calls me and says, "Hey, let's go watch this movie." I say, "What's it about?" "Oh, two magicians, they're going back and forth." I figured, "Oh, comedy, right? Great, fantastic."
Yeah.
And then I get there, like, "Holy cow, what is going on?" So, fantastic movie. That's got to be number three.
That movie was awesome the first time I saw it, but then you see it again and you know all that's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
and it's not as good, you know. But the first time you see it, if you were just going to say, pick a random movie, definitely, definitely recommend that movie.
Yes, fantastic.
But, yeah.
So now we have to hear from you. Your top three, if you can name your top three movies.
My top three movies. Well, one of them, I agree with you, would be The Avengers. It's just sometimes I just sit home and see that movie on my shelf and I think, I can watch that anytime I want to. There's just so much great stuff in there. It's funny. There's all this action. And all. It's not the greatest film of all time. In my mind, I separate films and movies. You know, movies are, yay, fun. And films are
mm-hmm.
serious, like drama and just great story.
I think
you know?
That's a good distinction.
But, yeah, it's not the greatest film of all time, but as a movie, just blows everything else
yeah.
out of the water. I don't know. That, I don't know if I would classify that number one, two, or three, but one of my other favorites is Mission Impossible 3, another J.J. Abrams. Just the first time I saw that movie, as soon as it was over, I wanted to watch it again, and so I did.
Nice.
And I've seen it many, many times after, and it's just the acting in that movie by Tom Cruise, of which I'm a huge fan. I love Tom Cruise. Just great acting, great story, everything. I just love it. Can't really pick a third one. There's so many good ones. I like movies like... well, my top movie, whenever anyone asks me, I always tell them it's Lord of the Rings. But that's kind of a cop-out because great story, great everything, but it's literally longer than all the Star Wars is put together,
yeah.
you know.
Well, you know, when Tolkien even never meant it to be three separate books, which some people still make that mistake. They like, and Tolkien
yeah.
says, no, it's one book and it's got three parts. So that's,
and it's a movie that I love, but it's not necessarily a movie that I love to watch all the time because
right.
I just
well,
know
you can only do it so many times.
Yeah, I just know that it's going to take me a week to go through it all, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just such a good movie. But if I didn't have, if I couldn't choose multiple movies as my cop-out answer, I'd probably choose something like Troy. That's one of my favorite movies. I said that was my favorite movie for a long, long time. I love epic war movies.
Nice.
So, yeah, I don't know. That was more than three, but that's kind of my taste in movies anyways.
So I think now we're going to move on to what I like to call, you can call it whatever you want. I call it Oscar Watch because, as I like to constantly brag to my friends, I got 20 out of 24 Oscar categories right this past year. And
wow. That's surprising.
So I like having fun with this. And that's part of this thing is for me is seeing the movies, evaluating, say, these are the great ones. Hearing the people say, yeah, but how come The Dark Knight Rises didn't get nominated for any Oscars? I say, well, it didn't deserve any. And then I get tomatoes thrown at me.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes.
But psst.
Yes. We don't even have an endorsement from them. We should be having one. So I like to say, if the year were to end today, because we all know, as if you're going to get an Oscar, you have to be in the year for the Oscars. It's not like the stupid Academy Awards where you can release an album and then 2 years later you get an award for it. It seems sometimes. Did I say Academy Awards on that one too?
Yeah, you did.
I did not mean that.
That's why I said.
So, Oscar.
It makes you human.
Yes. Oscar Watch, if the year ended today, what do I think we get nominated for? Best Picture.
Iron Man 3.
That can be your pick. I liked Iron Man. I enjoyed it. We might see some graphics, some special effects
yeah.
for Iron Man 3. So, I think I've got 10, my top 10 list. I'm going to say, if you want to read all 10, I'm going to make you go to my blog and read them. I'll give you my top 5. Which is actually going to turn out to be my top 6 because I have 5 and 6 in a tie. And 5 and 6 in a tie would be Iron Man 3, which we were discussing, and 42, Jackie Robinson.
And so these nominees are saying these ones are going to get nominated for movies.
If the year ended today, these would get nominated.
For For any category, best picture. Okay.
And last year, I had this top 10 list, and I believe last year I had this top 10 list, and there were 9 films nominated for best picture.
Mm-hmm.
8 of them were on my list.
Wow.
So that's essentially 8 out of 9 because the 10th was cut off, and I really have no way, and no one has any way of telling if there will be. How big was your list?
10?
It's 10.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And 9 of them were in the... Eight of them.
8 of them.
Wow, but, that's pretty
good.
But
there were only 9 films nominated. So I find this list to be pretty accurate, and that has been for the past 2 years. So, again, this is if the year ended today. So don't be, you know, all upset and saying, well, I know The Wolf of Wall Street is going to win an Oscar because Leonardo DiCaprio is in it.
Never heard of it, actually.
Yeah, we'll see when it comes out this year. Because, you know, keep your shirt on. The year's not over yet. Most of these are going to fall off this list, if not all of them, just because, you know, in December, there's so many more movies that have already come out, obviously. So, right now, like I said, for number 5, Iron Man 3 and 42. Number 4 is going to... Actually, these last 4 people are not generally going to be as familiar with as Iron Man 3 and 42. But number 4 is called What Maisie Knew. And this is actually an adaptation of a Henry James novel. And it is from the eyes of this little girl that's going through... Her parents are divorcing. And that's only limited release. It's not in that many theaters. I recommend checking it out if you get the chance. Not very many people will get that chance. But hopefully that means soon it will be out at, you know, Redbox or at DVD. So you...
Wait, what was it? What Henry?
What Maisie Knew.
What Maisie Knew.
Yep. And it stars Alexander Skarsgård, Julianne Moore.
We can talk in depth about the number 1, maybe. Yes. Number 4.
Number 3 actually kind of expanded to a few more theaters. Ryan Gosling, so everyone should be getting excited. The Place Beyond the Pines, and that is Ryan Gosling and Bradley Cooper. Bradley, fresh out of Oscar nomination for Silver Linings Playbook. That's number 3. Number 2, probably wouldn't make it up this high with some people, Upstream Color, which just sounds like an artsy title. And that,
And it has a very artsy cover. As well.
Yes, and you know, it's gotten...
2 people hugging in a bathtub.
Yes. And it's gotten a little bit of comparison to Tree of Life. So if Tree of Life isn't your...
And there's hardly any color in the poster.
Right. Yeah, which is surprising because all the color goes upstream. But Shane Carruth is the director of that. And I believe he did... What was his other movie that people were excited about?
See if I can beat your brain.
You know, I would be faster.
Looper.
At this.
Primer.
Primer. Yes, Primer. He did. I'd be faster at this if my computer wouldn't stop clicking on things that I don't want it to. And number 1, and this is, I really hope this gets out to more theaters because I think it's.
So it's not a national release
looks
yet.
Great. It's not nationally released, and it's slowly getting out to more. This is Matthew McConaughey. In a movie called Mud. And this one is getting all sorts of buzz. And the premise of this is, so Matthew plays kind of a hobo, a bum, who's out kind of hiding out and living on an island in the middle of the Mississippi River. And 2 boys are out exploring one day, and they come across him. And they befriend him, and he tells them, you know, all these.
Are these spoilers or?
No.
Okay, good.
They're not, because you'll find this out. This is all stuff you can find out from the trailer. So
okay.
They go befriend him, and then you know they kind of run into an issue when, you know, they kind of have to make this decision: is this guy dangerous? Can we believe this guy? Is he telling us the truth? So. That one, actually, so that's my number 1 film. If you go on to Rotten Tomatoes...
Actually, it looks like a really good movie.
Which I don't actually put a ton of stock in because of just how they're evaluated. It's at 98% right now at Rotten Tomatoes, which is pretty awesome for a non-documentary film. Normally, the ones that get high marks are documentary films.
Hmm.
So, Mud is my number 1 movie of the year so far. We'll let you know if that changes.
Cool. Yeah, Mud looks like a really good movie, actually. I've heard you talk about it. And have you seen it?
We're in Duluth, so I can't see a lot of these movies.
How can you put it as your number one if you haven't even seen it?
Well, you know, this is kind of my little secret, and my friends ask me, you know, how did you get 20 out of 24 right? Maybe you haven't even seen all these movies. And again, and it's almost impossible to see all the movies before the Oscars because if you haven't caught them in theaters,
They're not out on DVD.
Yeah, they're not out yet. And so how do you see them all? And even there's some movie like, you know, foreign films, you don't get to see them at all. They're not even in theaters here. Except for maybe in California, which they have to get nominated. I think the requirement is they have to be shown in, I think, a Los Angeles area theater.
Really?
A certain amount of time.
And then you can be nominated.
For an Oscar. Yeah. But, so, what I do is I you know, have my data from most of the internet, thank goodness for the internet, and I collect it, and I compare these movies based on the data that I collect, and I put them together, and I make this list. but, yes, Matthew McConaughey, Mud, check it out. I recommend it, even though I haven't seen it, and I will be going to see it as soon as I can. Another reason that I'm excited to see it is that the director is Jeff Nichols, and if anybody saw Take Shelter, starring Michael Shannon and Jessica Chastain a couple years ago, that was directed by him. I love that film. It's the film that made me excited to see Michael Shannon in Man of Steel this summer, and he's directing Mud, and so I think that's the film that is the best out there this year so far. Again, that probably will change by the end of the year, but for now, that remains number one. Our final little segment of the day.
Little known Netflix movies.
Yes, with Chris. Chris is a Netflix nerd.
Watching thousands of hours of Netflix movies, so you don't have to.
Exactly, and then you won't go through any bad experiences.
Yes. Sometimes it's funny to watch those movies just because,
It was Mega Shark, Giant Octopus was the last one I saw. That was an interesting one when the shark comes out of the water and bites the airplane in half.
Wow.
That was classic.
Yeah, there's some gems on Netflix. That's what I'm here for. If you are at all a fan of comedy or even horror, my recommendation for this week is Tucker and Dale versus Evil. It's a movie that feels like a horror movie, and there's a lot of points in it that are like the music in it or like the cinematography making you feel like it's a horror movie, but the entire time it's a comedy movie. It's about these two misunderstood country boys who just have the worst luck, and if you take my advice and watch this movie, you will love it. But you have to be kind of in the right mood for this one as well. You kind of have to be in the mood for a weird movie, but it's still good.
Fantastic.
Yes.
So there you have your homework. You have to go find Mud in a theater. Go find someone with Netflix if you don't have it, and watch Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
As he rolls his eyes. It's a good movie. Just try it. Just try it. Thanks for tuning in to This Week in Cinema. Thanks for tuning in to This Weekend? This Week. This Weekend in Cinema. Yes. Thanks for tuning in to This Weekend in Cinema. For more information, if you want to check out any of our lists, any of our stats about any of these movies, check out Haunted by Humans, all one word. Hauntedbyhumans.wordpress.com. What was it?
Haunted by Humans.
By Humans.